Zolak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Are you stupid or something?
If it does, sir.
Second and nine snap, a head-off to McCoy, flips it to Jones, flea flicker, back to Anderson, launches deep down the right side for Charles Clay, incomplete off his outstretched right hand, with maybe a step on Patrick Chung, along the near sideline at the 20.
Patriots really weren't fooled on that, it's just you beat him off the jam. Chung recovered quickly.
So the Bills break from the huddle with a third down and seven.
Crosser.
They got her on a crosser.
The snap to Anderson to give to McCoy, trying to slash it left side, drilled by Patrick Chung.
What the?
Staying home in the gap, and he decks him as the Patriots call the timeout after a pickup of two.
Dumb play call.
Near the fans with their displeasure.
Pass interference. Offense, number 13. The Pools have declined. Bring it up fourth down. Let's
see it. Bork has to punt it to our left. Fielding the snap and more flags falling. So a field goal fest in the first half and now flagathon early
false
in the
start.
Second.
Offense, number 42, false start. Offense, number 85, 5-yard penalty, still third down.
You stupid or something.
Finally get something going and just shoot themselves in the foot.
Honestly, stupid is as stupid does.
What was the dumbest thing the Buffalo Bills did last night, so?
It's a good question. I would say it's Benjamin's illegal block on McCourty. Because you started to get McCoy out in the flat. You got him matched up on a safety or backer, and they spring you for about a 26-yard gain.
Yeah.
And you go to block a guy that really wasn't going to make the play. Because, I heard some stuff up there, and I got some buddies up there in Buffalo. They're just upset with Benjamin and just his attitude. And it's funny because he's a guy that played well against the Patriots when he was in Carolina last year.
Well, wouldn't you have a bad attitude if you got sent to the Bills?
Yeah, but I mean, that's a guy that's, former defensive coordinator for Carolina. You're trying to establish something up there. There's a little bit of a relationship. And, you're going to act the way you act. I mean, the kid's got all the talent in the world. 6'5". He's got great reach. It's sad because there are guys that want to have that size and talent. They aren't born with it. They will never work to the point to where you're going to get that type of chance. And just a cheap shot, and he hits McCourty. He's dancing after it. And you see the three flags were thrown. I think it's a good block. But you understand now the rules have changed. Going back 2 years, they're trying to eliminate the knockout block from the side. And this started with trying to protect guys on punt teams that are gunners and those whirly bird hits where guys are getting ear holed because you don't see somebody coming and you get knocked in the next week. You can't ear hole a defenseless player from the side. You can't do that. You can't give him a lookout block that way. You can't flex a tight end out, bring him in motion and do the crackback toss sweep. You can't do that anymore. Those plays are taken out of the game. I don't agree with it. I don't like it, but when they change the rules, you got to be able to adapt as a player. Just can't go out there and be reckless. That was dumb. And Clay going in motion there, too. He's going forward with the snap. Can't even get set. You're down the red area there. I just thought they unloaded too much junk at the beginning of the game. It's nice to catch him in a wildcat look early. But then you run a double reverse flea flicker pass. And, I mean, Jesus, Dayball. Like you emptied your whole kitchen sink three drives into the game. Got to save it for spots. Patriots will work on a trick play for 5 years, not run it. Here, Troy Brown on with the morning show. He's like, we're never going to run this thing. Then finally they run it. You got to know when to pick your spots. It's just like, okay, we're in over our head in this game. We're going to take in. They kept to our call earlier. Never seen so many plays where the quarterback gets flexed out. Yeah, he was there 5 days. He knows a little bit of the offense, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to remove him from the situation, split him out. We're going to run direct snaps to Shady McCoy. Boy, is he a dangerous ball carrier. It gets worse every year, the way he holds the ball. Out and you're getting the point now where it's cold, the ball gets slippery at night, it sort of gets slick, and he's going to end up turning the damn ball over. That's going to hurt him.
You've been saying that about him for years. It's just
he doesn't do it.
I don't understand why he hasn't changed, but he's not going to change. His career is almost over.
I think
it really. Did you hear anything of what he said after the game last night?
I think coaches know that. When you get a chance there, I'm not a good enough coach to begin with, and I got a premier player. I just got to deal with it and try and kiss his ass and try and bring him along because I don't have the ability to put the hammer down on a guy and coach him up the right way. That's the way I look at it with him. He's just an entitled player. and title player, a lot of talent. And that's sad.
So. Bohorquez punting with 14:48 to go in the fourth quarter, just at the start of the fourth quarter. The Buffalo Bills at 4th-and-3 at their own 49. And they decided at that point.
There a couple times should have been two down.
They were trailing 12-6 at the time. They were down 6 points. They decided from their 49-yard line, let's call it what it is, midfield, that.
I said that. I looked at Bob. I'm like, it's as bad as Buffalo has seemed or played in this game, they could score, kick the extra point, and be up one. That's a 12-6 game.
Yep.
I'm like, wow.
Yep.
All they could do is punch one in, and you got the Patriots on the ropes.
So
where was the ball again?
49.
Ugh, yeah, it was.
It's the 49. And they decided that.
Let's play some field position here.
Here's what I want to know. If we're at the Patriot 49, at a difference of 2 yards, would they have punted? Would they have punted it away?
Yes, that coach would have punted.
Yeah, he's an idiot then. Yeah, I mean, he sucks. Well, I don't get
it. You're sitting there, you're looking at
it. I don't get
it.
what the draw is with this guy in Buffalo.
You're sitting there, you're looking
at
it.
I guess his defense is okay. His defense is not downright terrible.
So but still, you got Hogan.
His defense gave up a 90-yard drive after that punt or whatever it was.
They're not like wretched, though, like their offense is. It's not as bad. But here's the deal.
They have some talent on defense. They do. And Lawson's going to be good. He's a big player. He's big. He's got size.
They punted it away, and good. The Patriots went 85 yards and scored a touchdown and put the game away. Like, what are you doing?
You're sitting there.
We all saw it coming. Everyone saw it coming, except for Sean McDermott.
Wait, we're the Buffalo Bills. You know what he is, too? He's a cheerleader. He's like, flag on them, and he's pointing, and he's clapping, and he's pointing. I'm like, get your next call ready to go. You're not even on the headset talking to your defense court. You're flipping your microphone up like this, and you're clapping and yelling at the team out there. They know the situation. They should. Football players. They don't need you on them.
Yeah, I thought back-to-back drives in the third quarter were special, by the way, where they get a good punt return, right?
Yeah.
And they're set up. They started at the Patriots' 35-yard line.
Oh, my God. Three and out. Three and out, and you punt. I'm like, what are you
doing? No, they got a field goal on that
they
one.
They did?
Yeah.
They punted one of them.
It was Hyde. Hyde had a 31-yard return.
Carlos Hyde.
31-yard, not Carlos Hyde. Carlos Micah,
Hyde.
Right?
Micah Hyde.
So Hyde returns at 31 yards. He sets him up at the 35-yard line.
Yeah.
And on the first snap, Anderson fumbled the football, and they recovered it. The second snap, LeSean McCoy lost 3 yards. And then on 3rd-and-13 now, they picked up 5 yards to Kelvin Benjamin on a play that had zero shot of being a first down.
That the Patriots are giving you. They're giving you the underneath
zero
stuff.
Shot.
We're closing. We're going to make
it. It's just checking down to Benjamin. They pick up 5 and then kick a field goal, which means they moved the football in 4 plays. They went 2 yards and kicked a field goal after getting set up at the Patriots' 35-yard line. Their next drive, right? Their next drive was the one that the strip sack happened on and was recovered. Kyle Van Noy at the strip sack. That was their next drive. They followed up that beautiful performance with a fumble. Oh, what a horrible team. What a horrible team they are. Oh, they are stupid. They're bad. They don't have talent. They don't use it well. It's Buffalo.
We've held Brady down.
Can we go prior to the pick six, by the way? That sequence, touchdown pass, that I don't know what the refs were looking at, wasn't even close to a catch.
That's the worst crew in the league.
Coming out of a long...
That's the worst crew in the league.
Coming out of that...
Croom, right?
Croom. Coming out of that long delay after that catch, after the play was reversed, all that stuff, Charles Clay, false start, Derek Anderson, pick six.
What a team.
Yeah.
What a team.
That's special.
That's dreadful.
They got a gift touchdown.
That looked like a touchdown from our vantage point.
Yeah.
Because it's going down in the corner away from us. It looks like he laid out and caught it with one hand. Paul Place went nuts. You think, okay, wow, got it. And I came back looking at the thing. Holy crap, that's not a touchdown.
TV went to the shot of Derek Anderson high-fiving guys with the big coat on. And then he looks up at the screen, and he immediately takes the coat off and puts his helmet back on and walks back out because he knew. He knew.
Why couldn't we get a replay from ESPN last night?
I don't know. What was with that?
What the freak are they doing?
I'll tell you what.
You know how many cameras they got? You know how many trucks they had?
I'll tell you what was good for my
This wasn't a TV, this wasn't TBS baseball.
No.
This was not TBS baseball.
No, this is ESPN Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
There's no excuses.
Fully invested.
There.
They got 30 people in the booth.
If you were in the Boston market last night or if you were in you would get it on Channel 5 last night. They have the game.
Yeah.
And you could also watch it on ESPN. But if you noticed, if you went back and forth between the two, they were sort of timed out a little different.
What's your matchup with
So in our studio, at our Town Fair Tire Studios, I had one TV on 5 and one on ESPN, so you could watch each play twice as it happened.
Oh, that's
nice.
Great.
It was like they were perfect. It was like a 5-second gap. So you could watch the play and then watch it again. That's what I did.
It's interesting you did
but
that.
But you hear the play. You hear it first because
oh, yeah.
of the delay.
So I know it's coming because I hear it on radio. Then I see it once and then I see it twice.
This is how bad the lack of replay
And you
was.
Know what? I wish that would have happened for any other game other than that puke
Yeah, you got to watch that game twice and listen to it.
That we watched last. I watched it twice and I listened to the game last night. And that was the worst football game that I've watched in some time.
Terry Pegula sat in the booth next to us, and the lack of replay was so bad. He had his remote, his DVR, and he kept rewinding plays when he couldn't get a replay. Like, what's he doing? And I'm like, oh, he's smart.
Did he have his jersey on?
We couldn't do it. No, he didn't. He had a suit on because Thurman got inducted.
Hey, we'll get to the latest on the NFL trade deadline, the latest report as it relates to the New England Patriots and what they might do before the deadline, which is coming up this afternoon in the NFL. Let's do that next.
Zoe and Beetle at Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
I would not be shocked if the Patriots did end up bringing in a wide receiver. I know that basically had those sorts of conversations really since training camp, and I would imagine those are going to continue. By the way, I always won't be surprised if the Patriots traded a wide receiver. They're the Patriots. They will probably end up doing both. We'll see what happens at 4 o'clock.
That is Ian Rappaport, NFL Network. He would not be surprised if the Patriots both acquire and trade a receiver by today's NFL trade deadline. What do you make of that? Can I give ideas to who might get traded?
Sure.
Philip Dorsett.
Yeah.
What happened to this guy?
I don't know. Just phased out.
MIA, phased out.
Yeah. Welcome to Josh Gordon time. Got a better player?
No.
Yeah. I mean, what's better for you, to get Josh Gordon up and going or try and force feed Philip Dorsett, who's a nice kid? I mean, it is what it is. You know, NBC Sports Boston there, they're putting up Demaryius Thomas pictures. I don't want that guy.
I don't want him either.
I don't want that. I do not touch that guy. I've called too many games against him where you just see him shut it down.
How about someone on his team? How about Emmanuel Sanders?
Give me Emmanuel Sanders. That's the guy they went after. Should have paid him a little more to get a little better offer sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And he could have had that type of player for a good 5-6 years, man. That guy balls. That guy's a gamer.
Now, Golden Tate
play.
Is throwing
Gold
a big,
Tate,
big,
gamer.
Big bucket of water on the fire that the trade fires out there. You know, he's saying yesterday that he thinks he's staying in Detroit. He doesn't think he's going to get traded. He thinks he's optimistic that they're actually working towards an extension that keeps him there beyond this year, which means he could totally get traded today. but what would you do it for Golden Tate? Would you do a deal?
Golden Tate, yes.
That's a guy I'd want.
Golden Tate, Sanders.
Emmanuel Sanders
those
is
type
the guy
of players.
That I want. Larry Fitzgerald, that name's been sort of tossed around because things aren't going well in Arizona. Yes, the money's a little more difficult with him.
Golden Tate,
he makes
to me,
a lot of money still.
Golden Tate to me is cheap man's not a cheap man's version, but a, you know, Steve Smith. I look at a guy like Steve Smith, and Steve Smith Hall of Famer type guy. But just shows up the ball on Sundays, just got that edge to him. He's not as crazy. He doesn't have Steve Smith crazy eye, you know what I'm saying? But, sort of he's a subdued type of a Steve Smith type player. And Sanders can ball, but I don't think Sanders is available. Like, there's a reason that Demaryius Thomas is available because of his contract and probably the effort at times he puts in. I do not want Demaryius Thomas. Don't want him. Don't do that to me at 4. You got to call it like you see it. I think we do that as a broadcast.
Do you think that a deal gets done today here?
I don't know.
I think something will happen.
I mean,
even if it's minor, like something
I know
will happen.
I know they've been trying to do this for a while. Josh Gordon was not the guy they obviously targeted. I said this yesterday in the pregame with you. Gordon fell into their lap on that Friday and Saturday when he screwed up in Cleveland, and the Patriots are fortunate enough to be able to, you know, have a working partner in Cleveland that has always traded with you. Teams like Arizona, there's a history there. There's a history there with certain clubs where. And Belichick said it. He even said it 2 weeks ago. He goes, yeah, takes both sides. Takes two partners. Yeah, we're open for business. Phones are working. You know, it's interesting. We'll be doing a lot of taping it, too. We'll see if the deal gets done close to there, you know, from the TV aspect of it. So 4 o'clock's the deadline, as Rap Sheet said there. Nothing would surprise me. Nothing. If nothing happened today, it wouldn't surprise me. We come in tomorrow, and they got some big receiver that comes in. Holy crap, we're rolling with it tomorrow.
Yeah. If it does happen today, I'm going to predict it happens after 2:50, 2:55.
Why is that?
Because the Patriots coaches, like, conference calls with the media are between 2:15 and, like, 250, 255.
Right. It's like the Edelman news with Brady talking, right? In camp.
Yeah.
So sometime between 3 and 4. If something happens, I think it'll be between 3 and 4 it'll be announced, is my point.
Oh,
or reported.
You're so jaded, Jim, and you're so trained. Yeah. That's the way they do it.
Let's go to Richie, who's in Boston. What's up, Richie?
How you doing, gentlemen? Big fan of the show. Personally, I would like to see I'd like to see a defensive pick. I know we need pass rush, we need linebackers, but I personally think I would like to see Buchanan out there opposite of Gilmore. You know, Peterson's also an option, but he's a lot more money. Buchanan, I know it would take a little bit, you know, it would take a lot kind of to get him. It's a long shot, but I don't think it's out of the question. And with him opposite side of Gilmore, I mean, I think that they could shut it down in the secondary. But Buchanan can also play safety. He could come up and play linebacker. I think that they could utilize him in a lot of different positions and looks. I just wanted to know what you guys thought about that.
Well, I mean, I think a guy like Jamie Collins is maybe even more in play than him. You know, Collins is a name that I think some people around the building have heard, you know, for a while here. Because you bring him and say, well, what about Jamie Collins? He burned bridges on the way out, or all he wanted was his money. He was a fantastically gifted athlete that could run. And you insert him in some of these subsets with the linebacker like that can run a little bit with a tight end. Now you bring him back. They brought Pat Chung back after it. Now, Pat Chung didn't leave in the same manner of which Jamie left. You know, there were some issues with Jamie where he wasn't conforming. They learned to use Patrick Chung differently. So it can always work a second time. You know, he went out and got his money, so he's happy, and you know, maybe doesn't like losing. Uncle Cleveland wants to come here and wants to win again. So this guy's helped you win before.
Bill is in Westport. Hi, Bill.
How you doing, guys? I just wanted get your opinion on the Jay Glazer reports over the weekend saying they were going to go after an elite talent. I'm thinking possibly somebody like Odell Beckham or Julio Jones, who are both unhappy in their current situations.
I was hearing that a couple weeks ago. Something bigger than Golden Tate.
I mean, here's the thing, though, Bill, and I know that we automatically jump to names like that, but because you say elite, does that mean two guys? I mean, the two best receivers in the league?
No, but...
Do you really want...
This is my point.
Do you understand the contract Odell Beckham
signed? I don't mean to yell at you, but my point is that you can use that word and have it be a broad range of players that are not just the two best in the league.
Right.
Like, I feel like Jay Glazer is going to make extra headlines by saying something like that, where he's left himself quite a bit of wiggle room on that.
There's also been reports saying that the Giants have taken a few phone calls on Odell.
Why wouldn't you? That was the same report.
They could be in a fire cell. I mean, they could be in a full...
Yeah, and in that report, he said the Giants were pumping the brakes, saying, no, we're not going to continue to talk about this because we're not trading him.
Right.
So...
But Bert Breer threw the name out this morning.
What?
Laquon Treadwell from the Vikings. He could be considered an elite talent, even though he's not done anything in the NFL.
Right.
You know what I mean? That could be a guy that's under that category. First-round pick, Ole Miss, like five-star recruit in high school into college, was this great college player, hasn't done it in the NFL yet. That's an elite talent. Doesn't mean he can do it.
I don't know how he's forecasting this and looking at it from a point production. Like, what are you going to have to do to keep up with Kansas City if you do face them in the playoffs or a team like Pittsburgh on the road, you know, late in December? And just remember this. I mean, from the high-priced guys and money guys, you think, well, never play a guy like OBJ. They went out and got Revis when you just thought a guy like Revis and his salary were never attainable here.
Right.
They went out and did it. Pulled it
off. If you went through the league and you listed each team's number one receiver, wouldn't each team's number one receiver be considered, like, elite? Like, oh, you're a top receiver on a team in the NFL?
Yeah.
Because Demaryius Thomas could fit into that category.
Yeah.
Look at everyone's...
Demaryius Thomas is in that category, but if you're going to allow me to...
But I don't look at him and say, that's
10 other or 12 other guys. Right.
Yeah, that's how...
It's like we do with starting quarterbacks in this league. You're one of 32 best in the world of what you do. There's a bottom 15, there's a top 15. I sure as hell don't want a bottom 15 guy.
Right.
You know,
Pierre Garçon could get traded before the deadline today. He's his team's probably best receiver. He's a guy who's had a huge contract.
What's he got left?
An elite receiver, technically.
What's he going to do when he comes here?
So,
and where's he going to fit in?
Come on. Does anyone really think the Falcons are going to trade Julio Jones?
No. No. That would kill them. It would kill their team. It would kill their quarterback. Their quarterback would be Captain Poopy Pants. That guy's got to have everything perfect around him. He needs two fast scat backs. He needs a good tight end. He needs high-end talent on the outside. And he needs to play inside.
Bobby's in Medford on Josh Gordon. Hi, Bobby.
How are you doing, guys? So I got a couple quick things for you. First of all, Beetle, I agree with you with the Josh Gordon thing. I think if they had scolded him and put him out for the game, the repercussions that would have been way out there, and he wouldn't have come back from it. Most important, though, I saw a guy yesterday going crazy. It was actually Sunday going crazy after the Todd Gurley incident when he doesn't score the touchdown because he lost by the spread. I know that the last time I ever heard of something like this was about 10 years ago, and it was about the spread. It was a big thing. It was 10, 15 years ago, maybe even. But him not scoring
that touchdown yesterday. Yeah, smart play is what it was.
Stay in bounds, keep the clock running, you go down there.
And he addressed it after the game. He said, forget fantasy and forget Vegas. That was his quote after the game. So I'm doing what was right, which was take the knee.
Fans are rooting for fantasy.
You think that Todd Gurley doesn't want to add another touchdown to his resume and pad his stats?
Sure does.
Come on. If the insinuation there is that he's somehow throwing the game or something.
Yeah,
or impacting the spread.
Nope.
I don't think that's what's going on.
That's what you're taught to do as a good back.
By the way, the credit on the Josh Gordon take there, that's not my take. That's Jim Murray and Bedard sort of coming up with that last night as a possibility as to why the punishment was rescinded. And I would say this. If that is the reason, doesn't that show you how fragile the Josh Gordon situation is?
This is what we touched on for the last 2 weeks. You know, the dependability and where this thing's trending and the amount of increased snaps he's getting. What are you going to do if you're going to become completely dependable upon the player?
How fragile?
All of a sudden, something happens two weeks from now.
How fragile and how much it has to be sort of managed because they can't punish him without it becoming public because if it becomes public, he could shut it down. Jeez. You want to rely on that guy? You want to make sure that guy's dependable for January?
What else did he say last night after the game? He said, I was available for the game, so that's a good thing, right?
No, I don't think he said it like that.
Something like that. I heard it on the bus.
He was trying to just avoid the question.
The best part
he did
a
good job of avoiding it.
At the end, and he's like, well, I haven't seen the reports. I'll have to see him first before I can answer the question.
Yeah. Oh, good boy. Perfect. Good answer. Yeah. Hey, I tell you what. That's a hell of a jacket he had on last night.
Oh, man, was it ever.
You should have seen that thing in person.
What was that? Was it like a print or was it actual snakeskin?
That's snakeskin.
It was real?
That thing's real. It's like leather.
Badass.
It's
a badass jacket.
You know how many cowboys want that thing? A big hat and some snakeskin boots, some corn snake. And that is some badass stuff.
So it was real snake.
That is real.
That thing's
like, wow, look at those. What are scales? They call those scales? Little things on there.
Yeah.
Oily and
snakeskin.
Yeah.
What a jacket. All right, let's get a check of the headlines. We'll send it back to the Town Fair Tire Studios. Here's Hardy.
Oh.
Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots beat the Bills in Buffalo last night, 25-6. Tom Brady throwing a block out there. How about that block, Tom? You can tell us about the block?
Yeah, it was like a speed bump. I wouldn't say that was necessarily a block. I just try to get in Lorenzo Alexander's way, but he's a big, strong guy, I'll tell you that.
Yes, well, I'll tell you this. The Patriots will be home to play Green Bay on Sunday night, and the Bruins and Celtics are both in action tonight. Some bad news for the Bruins, though. Charlie McAvoy put on IR, retroactive to his last game, which was on October 18th. He didn't skate yesterday, but was out there on his own on Saturday, so sounds like a bit of a setback for McAvoy. Rest of the team in Raleigh to take on the Hurricanes tonight. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers have the call right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, which means the Celtics will be on 105.7 WROR as they play host to the Pistons, coming off their win against the Pistons on Saturday in Detroit. Headlines are brought to you by My Hair Doctors, Doctors Robert Leonard and Matthew Lepresti, 1-800-GET-HAIR. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. Hello, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines coming up in 30 minutes.
From Gillette Stadium, it's Zolak and Bertrand, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Three receivers right. Brady's looking left. He throws it for Gronk back shoulder. He makes the catch off the shoulder of the defender Gaines, although Gronk may have been out of bounds, and indeed he steps out with a catch at the Buffalo 7.
Yeah, he's not even debating it. Getting back in the huddle here.
Gronkowski reached up on
1-2.
The throw that was...
Oh, he's in.
1-2. Directed toward the helmet of Gaines. He toe taps with both feet. And then he spills across the sideline. It is first and goal to go.
That was pretty much Rob Gronkowski's contribution last night. Didn't see much from him in that game.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting doubled every game. There's no doubt about that. But, I mean, he's been getting doubled since he's been in the league. You know, that's a part of the game. You just wonder after the amount of years and, you know, the collisions downfield and the grind, the constant motion, the flipping of the formation. I don't say going through the motions, but does that wear on you mentally to the point where I'm doing all this for what? You know, five attempts trying to get me the ball, and maybe I'll catch three. You know, he's not on pace to hit any really incentives. And I don't really think it's about the money. You know, when you're in the offseason and you're questioning, you know, do you want to play or do you not want to play? Are you contemplating retirement? And you go, okay, I'm all back in. I'm not saying that's in play, but something doesn't, like, look right with him. And I don't think it's a back and injury, you know, a speed thing. I mean, I think he's loose. He's limber. He looks great. I mean, he's cut up. He can run. I just think that it wears on you when someone's always constantly hanging on you, you know, for 60 plays in a game, whether you're getting hit at the line of scrimmage and not to say you're mentally getting beat down, but, you know, at some point, I mean, there are periods like today. It might be 5 minutes where you go through the motions during a four-hour show, you know, because you've been mentally beat down yesterday. It wears on you. There are points where you're 8 games into it after 4 preseason games. Okay, now we're at 12, and Kansas City, he had to change and be more of a blocker because of the type of, you know, stuff that they threw at you and the way you were going to try and run the ball, keep it away from them. So you're asked to do some different things this year. But I just think, you know, when it all matters and the money's on the line, that he has the ability to still push a button and elevate and be a different player. I think you'll see different players because it's what? Green Bay at home, Sunday Night Football. You know, you got the bye in 2 weeks. Got that little carrot dangling out in front of you. You play well Sunday. You play well in Nashville. You get the bye. And then you ramp it up for that last part. You see how good he was in the Super Bowl when they needed him. He didn't do anything the first half of the Super Bowl. And then, boom, they go right to
sure.
him. Sure. Brady's got to continue to feed him.
Look at the Pittsburgh game last year.
That's the key. Right? Get right. Okay, and
that drive. Like, but let me just say this. We're halfway through the season now.
Yeah.
I know that he's missed a game. He's got one touchdown through halfway through the season.
Yeah. I mean, should
this
have
This is not lining up to be a good year for Rob Gronkowski.
He would have walked in yesterday, too. I mean, there's stuff they missed, you know? There's stuff they tried to force feed him the ball in it. Brady's got to
I tell you the touchdown numbers in the years that he
sure.
had full seasons?
Yeah.
And I'll go all the way back to his rookie year. His rookie year, 16 games, 10 touchdowns. 16 games, 17 touchdowns. 11 games, 11 touchdowns. 2014, 15 games, 12 touchdowns. 2015, 15 games, 11 touchdowns. To go back to last season, he played in 14 games and had 8 touchdowns. And now this year, 7 games, 1 TD.
Wow.
29 catches on the year. I don't know. What's going on with the guy? He's not playing like his typical self. And I don't know if that's injury. I don't know if it's because of the things you just mentioned that he's questioning whether or not he wants to keep doing this.
No, I don't think it's about not being in all this year because he's in. It's just... It was weird that that night game where he went to Brady at the end. Thanks for coming to me in the clutch. He's like, "What are you crazy?
What? That's weird.
Always, man. Forever, I'm always going to you.
Is that a weird thing?
That is.
What's going on?
You're bad. You are the alpha male. He doesn't feel like he's the alpha. He doesn't look like the alpha male to me right now. For whatever reason.
Is there confidence thing?
You had glimpses of it where, you know, against the Colts, you're slapping a guy. You know, yeah. Next thing you know. Oh, then I start to get excited because here we go. Here comes the Gronkowski that we know. And then next thing you know, he's not active out in Chicago.
Sam is in New York.
It's a little thing here and there. Everything adds up.
Sam, what do you think of Gronk?
Well, I think you guys pretty much covered it. But, you know, normally Gronk goes nuts in Buffalo because he's from there. And apart from the one play, kind of disappeared again. And there were a couple plays where it looked like I was expecting him to go up and get it, and I don't know if Brady missed through it or if he was a step short, but it does look like he's kind of lost a step.
Well, it's because he's doubled. Brady's trying to place the ball, you know, to the backside of where Rob can only twist and go up and get it. We've seen him make that, like, one-handed grab catch, you know, the best catch of the year. Even the stuff over the middle where they set it up off the deep play action and you got a back flare to the left and that big middle opens up and Brady sticks it on him on running that, you know, 10-yard crosser.
Yeah.
It's catch, it's cover, and it's tackle. Goes down. There's nothing's breaking away. You know, and then there's times where you miss, where he's open on a deep post corner to the sideline, and Brady's trying to stick it in there on a third and long, and you kind of miss him. You know, it's not where it's Edelman and it's boom, it's bang, bang, and you know, we are in rhythm and it's rolling. They have yet to get in rhythm of this quarterback and tight end yet. And somehow they're still sitting there at 6-2. I mean,
take away opening game. He had 7 catches, 123 yards, and a touchdown. He's gone 6 games where he's scoreless. He's never going more than 4 games in his career when he was that he hasn't scored a touchdown.
It's not like they're not like phasing him out.
6 games in a row, no touchdowns. 22 catches, but 325 yards in 6 games.
Like Brady, no TDs.
Brady tries to lay that
first
one
time
in.
He's ever gone that amount of time without a TD in his
4
career.
4 games he had in 2011 without a touchdown.
This is new territory for Rob Gronkowski.
He looks, I mean, it's not like, okay, he looks big, clunky, and slow. No. No, I mean, there's periods where, okay, he looks great, and then all of a sudden you get a little setback, or it could be a combination of things. Could be all the injuries adding up. Could be mileage on the guy. I don't.
617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls in a little bit. We do want to have some fun and get to some of the things that happened last night on the broadcast in here in New England.
Oh, here?
That'll be nice. Zosi. MC Zosi.
Oh, we got that again.
Yeah, no, we don't. I'm just saying Zosi. The two of you. They combine the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like we do. You ready for it?
I'm ready for it.
Mm-hmm. We'll do that next.
Zolak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com.
What's your favorite Halloween candy? It's that time of year. You got to go with the malted milk balls, right?
Yeah, that's a good one. Candy corn, that's another good one. So, yeah, I'm pretty much good on everything.
That's Bill Belichick with Scott Zolak pregame last night. He's a candy corn guy. He stands with Hardy as a candy corn guy. He's in on the candy corn.
Unbelievable. Candy corn.
Candy and costume, as Bill Belichick would say about Halloween.
Yeah.
He really blew off your malted milk ball thing, though.
Not down with the Whoppers. You could tell.
Why did you say that? Did he tell you that previously?
That's his favorite. We went on All Access, and we did the candy, and Matt Smith would have the bucket of candy there. Doug doesn't only take malted milk balls. Love the Whoppers.
Oh. Yeah, that's a good one.
All right, so that's two things. Bill and I agree on.
This interview's over.
Whoppers and candy corn.
I like Whoppers. Whoppers are a good one.
Another like disgusting thing, just like foaming in your mouth, like malted chocolate. Oh,
are you prepared for Halloween tomorrow at the Zolak house?
No, where do you?
You're behind.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
I think we're going to go trick-or-treating elsewhere for the first time. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That is
no flatbread? I mean, flatbread?
Flatbread? Yeah, Jim, I love flatbread.
Trying to scare the little kids out of the front porch.
No flatbread? No cooler with the neighbors?
Who's going to hand out the candy at your house?
You put a ball up. Put a ball up. Put a sign. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, but you usually have a fully stocked cooler, too, right?
Usually have the fully stocked cooler. Can't do that with the high school kids now. Can't leave cooler out. I would. Here's what it is. It's Wednesday, middle smack, worst day that you could have Halloween on.
How's it different than a Tuesday or a Thursday, man?
Because it's in the middle of the week, and based on the way people are tired,
that's never stopped you before.
It's parade day tomorrow. People are gonna be hammered all day drinking, and then you're gonna come home and like, I'm so tired. I mean, I don't know. It's weird. Give me Halloween on Friday or Saturday.
Okay.
Now the party's.
But why are you gonna go trick or treat somewhere else?
Because our relatives will always come over to ours, and they have another cool neighborhood, and it's nice to go there and let other people deal with it. You know what I won't? Here's the thing. We don't need people in our house.
Yeah.
And then they stay, and then they never leave.
Yeah.
And you have to, feed them, and then they take all your candy.
The inconvenience of having friends.
No, it's family.
Or family.
What are you doing, Hardy, Mr. Perfect?
I don't know. You know what? It's a real
new luxurious neighborhood.
It's a small.
It's a new. Hey, it's a new experience for you. You're out in the burbs, man.
It's a small neighborhood, though, and we haven't figured it out. I mean,
you could probably walk out and leave your doors unlocked, and nobody's going to mess with you.
Yeah, absolutely. No,
you don't even need
we're not
a key for
leaving
that house.
The doors unlocked, but we don't know where we're trick-or-treating yet. So, like you, we're going to figure it out.
Everything's new. That's
all right.
Great.
All right, let's get to more from last night's broadcast in Buffalo.
Yes.
Okay. Hardy, you know what we got there?
Yeah, well, it's all, you know, as you said, Zosi, not MC Zosi, but Scott Zolak, Bob Zosi. And, you know, last week, Bob favored us with a apparently got brought up early and often in last night's broadcast. Yep.
Built like a college stadium, and it's the you know three lights on both sides of the stadium. That's about the fifth time you said tonight. That's a new thing you've been developing. That is sassy Bob Zosi, man.
I'm sorry. No, it's rude of me. I apologize.
No, it's great.
I beg your pardon.
That means you agree. That's good stuff. That means you're doubling down on one of my comments, which is good. Normally, just roll right through it.
I'd rather you talk about it. I've had a difficult time.
My lips are starting to get chapped. Let's get to that point in the year where you lick your lips enough and
the Patriots team and Gaskowski.
That was brought up early and it continued. That didn't end there.
No, but the first
great.
The first one awesome. Is organic. I really like the first one that we'll listen to it again here.
Built like a college stadium and it's
I like this. I like this thing that he's doing.
He can't stop it now.
That's great.
Floodgates have opened.
Yep.
Okay. So I haven't heard these yet. I don't know if he's trolling you at this point or if this was another organic one, but let's listen.
Just frustrated. Yeah, he just
very subtle.
Not
he was just not, came
he
out.
He doesn't
man.
Troll.
That's no trolling.
No, that's
it's moving on.
Do we have another one? There's a third?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Oh, there's about
13. It was like never ending. Jim and I would throw our hands up in celebration every time it happened last night.
Okay, here's another one.
This, you know, the Mario Williams, is it's never worked out.
Oh, come on.
I'm telling you.
This is awesome.
Floodgates have opened. This is like breaking your seal on a long
this
day of drinking.
This is awesome.
This, you know, the Mario Williams, is it's never worked out. It's your 13th.
I'm going to get, you know, I have my little chart there, and I'm going to start marking them.
Oh, my God. It's so great. It's like a catchphrase. This should be one of his catchphrases.
That should be his podcast, not From the Gridiron and Beyond.
Yeah, whatever that
technical.
With Bob Sosa.
Come up with a new. Like, okay.
It's, you know what? It's becoming a problem.
We've opened the floodgates now.
It's entirely subliminal.
I can't stop.
Oh, you and Hardy are going to have a field day tomorrow.
Oh, Hardy will. That's how Hardy, man.
Oops. I guess we're becoming obvious. All right, so let's get away from the mm-hmms here.
Okay, what else we have?
This is on Chris Christopherson. Interesting spelling on this.
This is funny.
It's spelled with a C-H on both, so it threw me off for a second. I'm like, okay, where we typed it in. Didn't use the K's for Chris Christopherson, but okay.
It's all right. It was a long day yesterday, Hardy.
Just get to it.
Here we go.
Just play the clip, would you?
It's a 2nd and 14 coming up.
You ever see that? What's that? Year Without a Santa Claus? Dayball's morphing into Chris Kringle.
What?
Chris Kringle.
We had a little animated series where you get he's not Santa Claus yet. He's Chris Kringle, and he's got the red beard.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm with you so far.
Okay.
Right. Here we go.
Dayball's morphing into Chris Kringle. Started to grow that beard, and he had the red hair. Look at Chris Christopherson. Christopherson, whatever his name is.
Oh, dear. Oh, no.
That didn't roll off the tongue as well as I thought it was going to.
Christoph.
Chris Christopherson.
There you go.
Chris Christopherson.
Christopherson, whatever his name is.
The original star of A Star is Born. 2nd down and 14. Snap to Anderson. Throws
of course. Mr. Information.
Of course.
Mr.
Of course. Of course, Zosi had a line for you.
No,
right
he did. And he looked right over his chart. And there it is. Chris Christopherson. He is the original Star is Born.
He's only with
which actually is not. You know, that's like the third or fourth time that movie's been made.
Yep. Filmed in, I think it's out now, right?
Yeah, but like apparently the original is like from the 30s or something.
He had that on
so the Chris
chart.
Christopherson one is like this is like the third or something crazy.
Mm-hmm.
A Star is Born. Second down and 14. Snap to Anderson. Throws across. Little catch by Ray McLeod. And he splits a pair of defenders before he's taken down out of the 30-yard line. Van Noy on the tackle. You're talking about the old country western singer turned actor?
Yeah.
Chris Christopherson.
Yes, Christopherson. Thank you.
I believe. I used to always confuse him with Jerry Reed, who was always...
What?
I thought I was doing a game of
joke. Now he's, now, okay. I was taking it easy on Sosi today, but what are you talking about? Jerry Reed.
Who the hell's Jerry Reed?
Jerry Reed is a snowman from Smokey and the Bandit. They don't look anything alike. They don't sound anything alike.
They look a little alike. Yeah, they do.
They look nothing alike.
No, they do.
No, they definitely do.
It's that same butchy haircut.
Chris Christopherson has long hair and a beard. No, he had a beard. He was a grown man.
Didn't he sing but when we get behind closed doors?
Chris Christopherson was like a Johnny Cash.
No, that's Charlie Pride. Charlie Pride sings that.
Chris Christopherson like wrote Sunday Morning Coming Down and Me and Bobby McGee, and he was like an actor, songwriter. Jerry Reed was Snowman. That was what he's best known for. He's Bounding Down. What the hell is Sosi talking about?
Bound, yeah, that's right.
I used to always confuse him with Jerry Reed. Who was always Burt Reynolds' co-star.
Oh, okay. I know.
Yeah, twice. Always. Two times, Sosi. Smoking the Bandit, Smoking the Bandit 2. That's it.
Yeah, I know which guy you're talking about.
They didn't look alike, but you know, the country western crossovers as actors as well.
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
You know,
confuse Willie Nelson and Tanya Tucker. You know, the both country western acts. Very similar.
You're being a jerk, Hardy. Somewhere
Sosie's dying in his car laughing.
Second and six now.
This
you know who I was confused? Vanilla Ice and Eric B. and Rakim. Both hip-hop artists. Third down coming up for the Bills.
That is the classic ex-baseball play-by-play guy. A little bit of information. 2-2 to Jeter. Anderson with the throw out in the flat. 7-yard pickup.
Sosie.
Back to Eastbound.
I used to always confuse him with Jerry Reed.
Oh. Don't do that. I don't want to hear it again. All right, that's it.
No, very good.
Oh, man.
Very good. 617-779-0985. Why don't we bounce back to your calls in 90 seconds after these headlines on both, again, Red Sox and Patriots.